Right, let's pray. Father, we gather together, Lord Jesus, Lord, in your name. Lord Jesus, in your name. Lord Jesus, like we read in the scripture last week, Lord, Apollos may have planted, or Paul may have planted the seed, Apollos may have watered it, but Lord, you're the one that causes the seed to grow. And Lord, this morning we just pray that those seeds that are planted in our hearts, Lord Jesus, that you grow them, Lord Jesus, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you convict our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, you transform us from the top down, inside out, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, our Father, our champion, our everlasting creator, Lord Jesus, we just pray this morning, Lord, that that something of your kingdom is planted in us. Lord, in your mighty, mighty name. Amen. Right, I'd like to start this morning by showing you an example from actually a couple of weeks ago. We spoke, if I can find it. There we go. We spoke about David, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, and how he looked like a boy but fought like a warrior. Well, last week I accidentally ended up dressing like a medieval knight in 50 kilograms of plate armour. What I think this is an example of is those guys that were on that battlefield with David that looked like warriors but fought like boys. this is exactly the opposite of what we're saying about David. Okay. Right. We're looking at Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that's the blueprint we're given in the Old Testament for that journey as a son or a daughter of God in our maturity, that kind of journey from child through to father. And so we're going through step by step. We've looked at various things, but we've looked at how David was a model of a boy, but with a man's heart. You know, he went out onto the battlefield and they said, but this is just a boy. But he had that heart of a warrior, looked like a boy, fought like a man. We looked at how Paul encouraged us in our the way we behave with people, the kind of small things, the jealousy and the kind of moaning and all those kind of things that he was talking to Corinthians about. And then we looked at what it means to be a son, and a son is about belonging. You know, a child comes into the world, but a son or a daughter belongs to someone, belongs somewhere. So this week, we're moving on a step. Jesus is the best description of a son. If you want to see what a son does, what a son looks like, and when we talk about being a son or daughter of God, then Jesus is that is what it looks like. I only say what my father gave me to say. I only did what my father gave me to do. And even Jesus started as a child, as that kind of baby in the nativity story. He started as a child, and he grew up, and he had to do the hard yards to mature. One of the first things we learn about Jesus is the fact that he was obedient to his parents. And it's that obedience to his parents, despite who he was, that allowed that maturity to happen. And it says that he grew in stature and favour with both God and man, wisdom and understanding. And it's exactly the same with us. You know, we have to teach our kids to obey us as parents, because, this is what God has given us to do. Our primary responsibility in life is to reproduce ourselves into others, for our actual physical kids to be brought up in the ways of the Father, but also, the people around us that God's given us responsibility for or influence over. And part of that is showing and guiding and leading, but mostly what leadership about is about followership. It's not really about sort of dragging people around. It's about following God and other people following with you. The first thing Jesus says to the disciples is, "Follow me." That's his leadership style. His leadership style is not, "We're going here. Come on, guys, let's climb this hill." His leadership style is, "Follow me. I will show you. I will show you how it's done." And that's how we lead. We lead by following. And Jesus looked like his dad. So this perfect son, example of a son we're given, looks like his dad. I came to reveal the Father. And what Jesus was doing with the disciples was reproducing himself into them. So we've got this perfect son, and what's he doing? He's reproducing himself into the disciples. He's taking them on a journey and showing them how it's done. He's not sitting them down in a classroom and teaching them knowledge. He's imparting to them who he is. And their lessons come from the troubles and the problems he faces, don't they? His lessons come from when he's confronted by the Pharisees, or when, this wild man comes out of the mountains, possessed by a spirit. They're the lessons that he's teaching the disciples. See how I do it. This morning we're going to look at Philippians 2:22 to start with. And this is the relationship, this is an insight into and a glimpse into that relationship between Paul and his spiritual son, Timothy. Now, Timothy walked with Paul, and Timothy is someone that Paul trusted. And we see in Scripture how Paul then started using Timothy to send him out to the places he couldn't get to. And so Philippians 2:20 says, "But you know his character, that like a child with his father, he slaved with me to advance the good news. So I hope to send him just as soon as I see how things will go with me." So Timothy was this guy who Paul imparted and sort of reproduced himself into, becomes a son to Paul, and Paul can then send him out as if it was him going, because he looked like Paul, he acted like Paul. Paul could trust him. So how did Timothy become a son that could be sent? How did Timothy go from just this guy that knew Paul? Because I'd imagine there's a lot of guys that just knew Paul. How did he go from just being that to being a son that could be sent? Someone that Paul knew would go in there and behave just as Paul had. And there's a clue in that scripture. "But you know his character, that like a child with his father, he slaved with me to advance the good news." And so we see that the way Timothy became a son that could be sent is because he slaved alongside his father. His father in Christ, Paul. He slaved with him. Which, in some respects, is quite surprising, because you'd think that Paul would say something like, You know his character because I've taught him everything I know. You know his character because, he's been around for years. You'd expect those kind of things, but he says he slaved alongside me. So Timothy's been faithful to Paul in the slaving. Timothy's been faithful to Paul in the small stuff. Timothy's been faithful in slaving alongside Paul so that Paul could then trust him to be sent. And if we're faithful with another man's things, as Timothy was with Paul's things, then God will give us our own things. You know, that is a principle that God works to. If you're faithful in the small stuff, he'll give you more stuff to look after. That's essentially how he grows us. He gives us responsibility for things so that we can be trusted with people. He gives us responsibility for 10 people so that we can be trusted with 50 people. And so on and so forth. You get the picture. And that's what's happening here. Timothy is slaved alongside Paul. Right. Being as we've got absolutely no time to do this, and there's still loads to get through, can we clear a big space in the middle of the room, please? I'm talking chairs and everything. I want space for activities here this morning. Because we can't really talk about slaving alongside our Father and not and just sit on our bottoms, can we? Right, can we... Could you drag that box into the middle for me, please? Right. Got quite a few people here this morning. I'll tell you what, I'm going to divide you in half from here, left and right. It doesn't really matter how many are in each group, just as long as we've got a group. No, you're in no man's land. You can go to the right because I think that evens things out a bit. Right, what I want you to do with your new team, your new workmates, is because there's no, I think, purer way of working alongside someone than building something. I think that's like, when it comes down to it, that is the foundations of working. So there's a box of bricks in the middle, and I'd like you each team to construct me a recognisable landmark. So when so yes, please shout at Jeff if he can't hear. So a recognisable landmark. So, you know, I'm not going to mention it because I'll use all the easy ones, but you know what I mean, yeah? The stuff you get on postcards when you go to a place. Right, are you ready? Go. Oh, and you're going to have to fight over the bricks, so. How are we getting on? How are we getting on? Team two, I think we've sort of got some...
That is cheating.
Yeah, I do recognise it, yeah. But, we'll see. Well, we'll give it another minute or so. Right. So I just carry on building. So as we're about to see, good things come from hard work. And as that scripture... Okay, good, maybe you're stretching it a touch, but as we can see, things come from hard work. And like in that scripture, Paul talks about slaving alongside the Father. But when we think about our relationship with the Father, we think about quiet times, we think about worshipping, intimate moments, those kind of precious times. But intimacy and maturity don't come from just quiet times, chatting, emotional times, intense experiences, religious experience. They don't, you know, that intimacy and maturity comes from hard work. Learning his word is hard work. Applying his principles is hard work. Doing what is right is hard work. Prosperity, believe it or not, is hard work. Influencing and changing the world around us is hard work. And we saw back in that, when we were looking at David, what was David doing when Samuel went to look for him? This is a challenge of your multitasking skills here. Can you build with your hands and think with your heads? Yeah, exactly. What was David? David was slaving for his father when Samuel came to look for him. And that's how David, not like me, looking like a knight, but fighting like a boy, that's how David looked like a boy, but with a warrior's heart. How are we getting on with our... Okay, yeah, maybe there's many things wrong with that one. Right, how are we getting on? Well, I know what this is over here. Oh, okay. No, I can see it all. Right, so over on the left here, we've got what looks like Pentagon Centre in a few years' time. I presume that is Colosseum. No, I know. It's Stonehenge, yeah. The easy way out. And oh, this looks quite interesting. So I'm presuming it's not the Eiffel Tower or the Empire State Building. So we see good things like Nelson's Column and like the, I'm sure, at the time, the Stonehenge was quite hard to put together, a bit harder than we found it this morning. Quite, exactly. So good stuff. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Colour-coordinated Stonehenge. So good things come from hard work. Good things come from hard work. And when we've been looking at maturity... You've noticed how David shows us that it's facing up to the monsters and facing up to the lions and the bears that brings his maturity. Grafting for his dad. Paul speaks of our simple actions and laying down our right to be right. You know, that kind of, well, I'm right, you're wrong kind of stuff. It's laying down that stuff. And now we're looking at slaving alongside our father. All this is tough stuff. And maturity is about that tough stuff. And I believe it's through the tough stuff that you find out who you really are. It's through the tough stuff, I think, that you find out who you really are. I mean, you know, we've had some great sharing this morning about people going through tough stuff, and I'm sure they would tell you that, you know, they found out something about themselves. And it's easy to say, I have faith and belief until it becomes tough and uncomfortable, isn't it? It's easy to say, oh yeah, Father, we believe, and you know, you're going to storm the gates and all this sort of like kind of stuff. But when it comes down to the grit and the really tough bits, that's, I think, where we find out where our faith is really at. So we've got a graft, and it's about the tough stuff, and it's difficult. But he's our dad. He's not our boss. He's our dad. He's not our boss. We're not there as worker drones for him. We're not there as employees. We're not here because he needs people to do stuff for him, believe it or not. I know church can feel like that sometimes. Oh, you know, we're just a great sort of voluntary organisation. But we're not here because he needs stuff doing. We're not here as his army in the sense of recruiting us and paying us a wage. We're here as an army of sons and daughters. He's our dad, not our boss. He doesn't just dish out hard work. In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all of you who are struggling and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's a really comforting scripture, isn't it? That's our dad saying, no matter how tough it is, if you think, you know, if you're really weighed down by the world, come to me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm gentle and humble in heart. That's our dad talking to us. But you notice in there, and this is the bit I've always missed before probably, take my yoke upon you. Now, we know what a yoke is, don't we? That kind of wooden, I don't know what to call it, device, wooden thing that they used to put on their shoulders, or they used to put on the ox, or like the animals to carry weights around. So he wants us to get in where they put our neck in his yoke, share the weight with him, and graft alongside him. But this is our dad talking to us. This is our dad sharing work alongside our dad. It's not grafting and slaving for a boss. This is our dad that we're working alongside. And that's totally different, isn't it? When we work alongside someone in that way, it's totally different. Totally different. Because we're sharing with each other. We're sharing hearts with each other. And we're doing things together, working towards that common place. It's in the yoke of God's business that we learn of him. It's in the yoke of God's business that we learn his goals, where he's going. We learn the way he does things with that yoke, sharing that yoke with him. We learn to discern reality. We learn to sweat out our sins and impurities. We recruit others and we share with him in the victories and the defeats. So when Paul talks about slaving alongside our fathers, yes, it's hard work. Yes, it's hard work. It's hard work maturing. It's tough maturing. But we've got our head in the yoke with our Father, and we're working towards building his kingdom. We're learning of his ways. He's sharing his heart with us. We're learning his goals. We're learning in ourselves to... He's showing us how he does things. That's what working in his kingdom is all about. So when we worked, I split us into teams there because aside from I like a bit of competitiveness to it, brings out the best in us. The people you worked alongside, when you start sort of deciding what you're going to do, you learn about how they think. When you start doing stuff, you probably, if we just spent a bit more time doing it, you start to learn the way they do things. Some people go bowling in, start constructing something and realise they've got no idea where they're going halfway through. You know, other people will sit there and think about it first and, you know, and then plod through. You learn the way you think they do things, don't you? And maturing as a son is about doing that, working with each other, working with the Father, working with our spiritual fathers. So like Jesus did with the disciples, we can watch him. We can see how it's done. Jesus practiced that I do, you watch, you do, I watch, you do. Pretty basic stuff, really. That is discipling wrapped up for you right there. I do, you watch, you do, I watch, you do. That is the apprenticeship we're called to with Jesus. That is the apprenticeship we're called to. So if it ever feels pointless making tea or doing the gritty stuff or, you know, doing the... slightly less pleasant bits of our lives. That's part of our apprenticeship. That's part of us having our head in the yoke with the Father. So if we want that maturity for ourselves, we've got to slave alongside our Father. Lord, we want to break the ground. We'll lay that road to our potential. It's not like a shiny golden road that we follow. We've got to lay that road as we go to fulfill that potential that we have. Lord, we want to work with you to build the kingdom. We've got to build that brick by brick because our Father wants to show us how it's done along the way. But we've got to build that kingdom. It's not going to arrive out of the heavens. It's just not. Lord, I want my dissatisfaction and moaning to be turned to steps to bring about your vision. We want our attitudes to be for the Father and for his kingdom. We want to look beyond ourselves to his vision. And we want to work for something that will last for eternity, don't we? Like promises us that. That inheritance. It promises us that treasure we're building up in heaven. That's earned from the hard yards and the grafting with our Father. So I've got a few questions for you to end with. First question is, who are you working with? Who are you working with? Because like we found out, when you start to work with people, your kind of ways of doing things rub off on them and they, you know, their ways of doing things rub off on you. And, you know, who are we working with? Are we ensuring that the people we're working with are working for the kingdom, are working for that eternal fruit? Secondly, what are you working for? Are we building our own little kingdom? Are we building our own little pedestal for us to be knocked off of? What are we working for? Are we working to, you know, to fill our houses with nice things? And are we working to, you know, get our kids into private school? I don't know, whatever the thing is. What are we working for? Are we working for alongside the Father? Thirdly, how are we volunteering for work? Are we giving that first step to him? Are we saying, Lord, I don't know how to, I don't know where to go, but this is my first step for you? And finally, have we set our hearts to be apprentices with him? To learn along the way, to learn through the tough stuff, to stick our head in that yoke, make tea, and do all the stuff that's required to further his kingdom. Have we got that apprentice mindset, or have we got that, graduate mindset where we've learnt it, now we can do it? Now, we want to have that apprentice mindset where we may have knowledge and understanding and experience, but it has to be brought in line with the Father's ways. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, because you are that dad, Lord, and Lord Jesus, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Lord. Lord, you're our dad that wants to put your arm around us as we work together. Lord, you're our dad that wants to show us your ways and how to build your kingdom. And Lord Jesus, we thank you because, Lord, we know that the tough stuff is going to reap rich rewards, Lord. Lord, the tough stuff is going to reap a harvest in our spirit, in our character. And Lord, we trust you in that. Lord, as we slave alongside the fathers you've given us on earth, Lord, as we slave alongside those spiritual fathers, Lord, as we slave alongside you, Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you're building us into mature sons. Lord, we just give those first steps maybe to you, those first steps in putting our head in that yoke with you. And Lord, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you comfort us along the way. And Lord Jesus, you keep our eyes upon you. Lord, we thank and praise you in your mighty name. Amen. I guarantee that within 5 minutes of the kids coming back in here, they'll have built something twice as impressive as we managed to. Did I joust? No. Honestly, that is the most uncomfortable thing you'll ever... just, yeah. No, it's real. Stuck on, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely love the shoes. I'd wear those day to day because they're sort of all jointed, so they sort of like flex, like long and jointed. I quite like those. They're wonderful. But what? If it rains. If it rains, well, yeah, you're rusted up.
Your shoes are
there. I'll show you, whoever's interested. I've got a picture with the full face helmet on as well with the slit. Yeah, exactly, yeah. No proof it's me. But yeah, absolutely mental.